morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, you staying warm over there?
Yes, I am, but it's still nicer here when it's cold than it was in Tacoma last Friday.
Yeah, absolutely, but it is.
What were you doing in Tacoma?
Well, there was this little thing known as the Gridiron Classic, and very pleased to say that my son Dylan's a junior. He plays on the team. And 3A state championship.
Super exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
Congratulations.
That was fun. That was a big deal. And
And I did ask him before, you know, when they were getting ready to head over on the bus, and afterwards I asked him, I didn't dare before. I said, were you nervous? And he goes, not really. He goes, we were prepared.
Yep. There you go. But I'm sure he was a little bit.
Everybody
knows those big game jitters. So.
Yeah, especially, he does a long snapping for the extra points and stuff. And so.
Very, very cool. Well, congratulations to you guys. That is fantastic.
It was fun.
And then you come back and we get a little snow and a little slippery roads. And it's definitely that time of year that we were wondering in November where it was, but it's here for sure. That with us also, as always, Mr. Tom Coyne, our in-house resident lending specialist with Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm actually excited for this weather. You know, I hunt, and the cold weather means those ducks are coming south. So,
absolutely.
The hunting might get a little better.
I'm warning Daffy.
Yes, you send out the warnings. Well, we always like to start off with kind of our crazy celebrity real estate news story. And if you remember, a couple months ago, a couple shows back, we had put out one of the celebrity real estate stories that the Full House where they filmed Full House, the house they use as the iconic opening shots, was for sale. And it's interesting. It finally, nostalgia overcame the creator, Jeff Franklin, of the show. Ended up buying it. He couldn't let it go. Couldn't let it leave the Full House family.
Wow.
So apparently he had an extra $4 million lying around.
Like we all do.
And was able to pull the trigger on that purchase. So he's going to do a major renovation on it. So on top of having the money to buy that, that home was built in 1883 and has some earthquake issues with foundations. So big major overhaul. How'd you like to do that? How'd you like to spend $4 million bucks on a house
and then need a remodel
and then have to go see Tom Coyne for a renovation loan afterwards?
I mean, so, Tom Coyne would like that.
Yeah, Tom Coyne would like that. But I think the rest of the scenario that's rough.
Did it say if he's going to move into it or?
Well, it says he has a little bit of plans to it. He'll probably keep it as a second home for a little while, but then turn it into a rental. That's an expensive rental. But he also wants to host a kind of a Full House reunion, maybe use it in, I guess there's a Fuller House series, remake series going on, and use it for that. But there is approximately 250 fans per day that show up to take pictures in front of that house.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you do a long-running TV series like that. So kind of interesting to see what ended up happening with that house. So that is our crazy celebrity real estate story for the week. I want to start off this week's show, though. I do want to, before we fully get into our topic, I want to get into a little bit of property. I'm excited about some great listings that we have right now. And this time of year, like we said, this last week, we had some of the snow, we had some of the ice, we had some of the slippery roads. It gets to be where it's a little bit more difficult to be out there looking. But that with lower inventory that we've seen the rest of this year, now's the time as a buyer when you might have that advantage of you might not be facing quite the competition that you were facing, say, 3 months ago when there was a gajillion, we'll say, people looking. So if you're willing to take some of those extra steps, go through some showings, here's some great properties for you. Now, the first one that I just like to feature, and this is a great opportunity that we have, and this is a wine estate. This is a big estate property. And so what this is 3604 North Clover Road. And this really is a one-of-a-kind home that was built out there on 2.5 acres. It was then put into vineyard. So they've got some great, great grapes growing on it. They are producing. They had a great harvest this year. And what was happened is this home was built by a true master craftsman that built this house. So we're looking at a house, a shop, and a guest house, plus the vineyard. And it was just completed within the last year and a half. So in this house, it is absolutely ideal entertainment, big open space area, great for entertaining. You've got high ceilings, you've got wood beams, you've got Italian Carrara marble counters, waterfall island, full wall pantry, handcrafted African mahogany and walnut cabinetry. I mean, this stuff is absolutely beautiful. All hand-built, handcrafted. The owner's retreat master has a sitting area, access to a deck that overlooks the valley, the Badger Canyon Valley out there above Riata, overlooks that. And then here's what's crazy is when you go outside of this amazing house, you come out to an almost 3,400 square feet shop. The shop is as big as the house. I mean, that's how it should be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, this sounds like a house that would be on our celebrity story.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is. And the beauty of it is being in the Tri-Cities, you're not going to spend $4 million for this house. You're going to spend just under $1 million. It's coming in at $995,000. I didn't even get a chance to explain the guest house, and that is a one-bedroom, one-bath, 750-square-foot guest house. Wow. And I got to tell you, a lot of times I've seen guest houses, and it's almost like an afterthought, right? Or it's like they converted a portion of the shop to the guest house. Not the case in this. The same type of craftsmanship that was used in the main house was also done for the guest house. I mean, I just wanted to rent it out for the night the first time I saw it. And I mean, you feel like you're in your own private oasis. So if you know anybody, we've had a lot of interest from out of town winery owners looking to relocate to the Tri-Cities. We're showing that through private showings. Go to our Facebook page, our website, kenmoreteam.com, and go ahead and message us for a private showing of that property. Pick number two, Meadow Springs area in Richland. We don't get too many of these that come up that often, but this is 606 Linda Court. This is a four-bedroom, two-bath rambler. It's in a cul-de-sac in Meadows East, 2244 square feet. Lots of natural light that come into this home. Big kitchen, lots of counter space, stainless steel appliances, built-in double oven. You've got granite counters. You've got a walk-in closet in the master, built-in organization, remodeled main bathroom, and then a bonus room or fourth bedroom that is just fantastic retreat space. Private backyard, fully fenced, and like I said, on a cul-de-sac, close to golf, right in Meadow Springs, and that's coming in at $250,000. It's just hard to find Meadow Springs houses like that to come in that price point. And then pick number three, we've got 2719 Willowbrook Avenue. This is a great South Richland location, four-bedroom, three-bath house, 3,093 square feet, lots of natural light, formal living and formal dining, so you get the flexibility of those extra spaces, granite in the kitchen, hardwood floors. You've got a great setup for entertaining with a large family room right off the kitchen, nice pellet stove this time of year, keeps everything warmed up. You know, the rest of the summer season, we don't talk about that too much, but really, really comfortable space. And then you've also got a great master garden tub, separate shower, large walk-in closet there. Once again, outside, fully fenced backyard. And that's coming in at $299.9. So there's some great opportunities for some houses out there still selling homes. That's why a lot of people ask me. We run into people at holiday parties, and they've been saying, are you guys still showing homes? Are you still busy right now? Well, I'll tell you what, the showings do drop off a little bit this time of year. It's just harder for people to get out and look and be looking. But one of the things we're talking about people to is on the buy side, there's a little bit less competition out there right now. Not as many people are willing to make that move during the holidays. And that, on the opposite side of that equation, we're telling our sellers, the showings that you're getting right now, this time of year, those buyers are very, very serious. And one of the things I was going to go over, because our sellers today are asking us a lot of questions, what do I do right now with my decorations? How do I present my home right now to show the best? And it's really interesting, because as we go through this list, and I pulled some of these from HGTV's blog, and then I put some of it with some of the things we've done over the years. And the same theories to home staging that we talk about apply when you go to your holiday decoration. Number one is that we're trying to make the house as presentable as possible to the largest number of people. So number one comes out with, it's no different in the holidays, but even more so important during the holidays, is you have to clean before you can stage your house. Even when you're dealing with a regular house, if you don't get that thing spick and span clean, and this time of year, the outdoor spaces, it's too cold to be outside. They're going to spend more time in the house looking at the interior this time of year. So before you throw in some, you know, ceramic reindeers and Santa's 900 elves,
clean the house first.
You got to clear,
seven inflatables in the yard.
Yes, you've got to clear some of the stuff out. So number one that I wrote down there is clear out more clutter than you normally would, because you don't want the spaces to look overcrowded. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times during Christmas, that is a very, very difficult feat.
Is this the time when you would take some of the family pictures down?
Absolutely. And you might take some of those extra pieces of furniture out. The first thing, another thing that I put down on the list, is having that tall tree sometimes can accentuate the tall ceilings, but you don't want to get a tree that's too wide, mm-hmm, that it takes up the whole room. So now that room looks really small. And so, absolutely. And when you do put that tree in that room, you might not want to put it in there with the, you know, six extra chairs that you have around. You're going to need to pull out, say, two or three of those extra chairs, then put the tree in to make it look correct in that room space. So getting the proper size tree for the dimensions of the room and clearing out some of that extra furniture, Tom, you brought up a great point. That was 100% on my list. The next thing that I had on there too is create a cozy vibe. One of the things you want to do is make sure that you have something in there that's comfortable. The advantage you have with decorating like this is a great opportunity for people to feel more at home. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely okay to have an evergreen wreath out. Even this time of year, you know, they talk about cookies and stuff and baking cookies for open houses, but it's great to have, you know, you can have a pot of cider simmering on the, you know, on the stove this time of year, so that when people come in, they can smell that and have that in their minds as they're picturing their family wanting to have Christmas here.
That apple cinnamon, like, scentsy.
Absolutely. This time of year, you can get away with that, mm-hmm, and it feels cozy and with the season, as opposed to you do that in the summer and people think you're trying to cover up the smell.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So those are the top three that I wrote down. I've got three or four more great tips on getting your house sold and staged during this holiday season, because we still have a lot of buyers out there looking. I was shocked, you know, yesterday I was in the office and working, and that morning I took four or five calls from agents within a 2-hour span. Hey, I'm out showing your listing. Hey, I'm out here. And so people are still trying to find those right homes to get their buyers into, so that they're settled for that new year in January when everybody's going to be ready to make those moves and start back up.
Well, Lance, and like you said, the people who are out are generally more serious.
Extremely serious. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Tom a little more about the lending side and go over a few more tips on how you can best show your home during this holiday season.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking a little bit about what's going on in real estate during the holidays. There's still a lot of active buyers out there looking. We are one of the big things we start to do is talk about what we're going to be doing next year as people get through the holiday season. But there are a lot of good weeks left to still put a home under contract or find a new home. And on the buyer side of things right now, there's a little less competition. It's just the snow and the rain kind of gets rid of some of the babies, Tom, that aren't willing to go out in that weather.
Yes, it does.
And so you might have a better chance of maybe not being in that multiple offer situation if you're willing to take that extra step and be looking right now. So there's still a lot of people out there looking, and we're helping those that are wanting to still go out this time of year. But it's a good time to kind of take a look at your evaluations and what's going on. We talked about some of the decorating tips for our sellers that are looking to decorate during the holidays. And the general matters is what it boils down to is you can't be like Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's Vacation. That's just not you can't go Griswold on us, McKay, if we're trying to sell the house. And I know you've got a little Griswold in you over there.
Yes. Well, we have 7 inflatables and then lights and then our neighbors Griswold their house, so we have fun with it.
So if I'm selling your house during the holidays, though, we're gonna pare that down a little bit.
Just a little.
But before we get to the remaining tips for that, we always like to check in with Tom, one of the biggest parts of the home buying and selling process is the lending and mortgage world. Tom, what's going on over there with you?
Well, Lance, it may have slowed down a little bit, but we're still certainly busy. I had many appointments this last week of clients getting their rates locked in and loans started. And unfortunately, rates have increased from what they were a month or two ago. But still, they're just about as low as they've ever been if you look at over the last 40 years. So great time to get into the market still. Rates are still low. Do we think rates are probably going to go up next year even more? Yes, probably, but hard to say. Rates are still very, very good. Now, while you're out there shopping for your presence and you're shopping for your home, it's still a good idea to shop lenders. Most people a lot of people still think it's best to just call their credit union or where they've banked for the last 50 years to get their mortgage. But that's not always necessarily the case. Some banks or credit unions may not have a real appetite to do a lot of mortgages. And so their rates are going to be a little higher or their closing costs are going to be a little higher. But when you make 2 or 3 phone calls when you're out there shopping for your mortgage, you're quickly going to see that no two bank is going to be the exact same rate or the same closing costs. And a little bit of a change in rate could have a big impact every month as you're making that monthly payment for the next, say, 30 years. So I wanted to talk about a couple things that you can be doing and questions you can be asking when you're shopping around for your home loan. First off, interest rate. Everybody knows to get the best rate you can get. The lower the rate, the lower the monthly payment, and the lower the interest you're going to pay over the life of the loan. Even a change of 1/8% can have a huge impact on interest a client would pay over the life of the loan. So always try to keep that rate as low as possible. Now, the next thing is worry less about APR. So many people get wrapped up in APR. And Lance, I'll tell you, client will ask me, you know, what APR is or what does that mean? I cannot look at an APR and tell you anything about a loan. I can't tell you the loan term. I can't tell you the rate. I can't tell you closing costs. And I do this for a living. So how is the normal person going to be able to look at APR and know anything about it? So APR is a combination of your rate and the closing costs, certain closing costs, and it's spread over the term of the loan. Now, one thing to kind of point out more even of my opinion on worry less about APR is, let's say you have 2 loans side by side. They're exactly the same, same rate, same cost, everything. The 30-year loan and then a 15-year loan. Well, we all know a 15-year loan is going to be better, right? Because you're going to have far less savings. However, the APR on the 15-year loan would be higher than the 30-year loan. So if you only looked at APR, you would think the 30-year loan is better. But the reason the 15 is would have a higher APR is because those costs are spread over a shorter period of time compared to the 30-year.
Tom, the only time I've ever been able to understand APR is there is a grant that they give that is like, it's not a grant. It's a deed of trust, but it's 0 interest, 0 payments, and then it's due in 30 years or whenever you sell the house. But in that situation, so they'll say like the interest rate is 4%. In that situation, there's like a $100 document fee. Mm-hmm. And that's the only fee at all associated with that loan. So the APR goes from 4 to like 4.001. And that's the only APR I've ever been able to understand.
So if you had a true zero cost loan, your APR will just be the note rate. It'll
and that would be like no fees for preparing the documents.
Like an auto loan traditionally.
It would just be 0-0. Yep. And so, and that's probably the only time you would ever see it be
ever
the same.
Yeah, and if you have sellers paying you all your closing costs, then that doesn't impact the APR. Your APR is still going to be higher than the rate. But worry less about it. What's really more important to me is, what's my interest rate? What are my closing costs? Just look at the numbers.
Good point.
Now, that leads me right to my next topic here, is closing costs. Make sure you're checking what fees each lender is charging you. Just because one lender says they can match another lender's rate doesn't mean they're doing it at the same cost. On any given day, you can basically get any rate you want. As you go down in rate, cost goes up. And as you go up in rate, cost goes down. So when a client says, hey, Tom, what's your interest rates? I'll say, you know, what do you want your closing costs to be? Because it really depends on how much you want to either pay in points or get back in credits. Now, generally, I think it's best to stay around par. Par is just zero. You're not paying anything extra for the points and you're not getting any credits back. But I'll meet with 50% of my clients who they take a higher rate, and they want to get that credit because that credit saves them money today in costs versus having to wait 9 years to save with the lower interest rate and the monthly payment. Now, every situation is different. So I always think it's best to look at a few different rate and cost options, and then the client can make the decision on what makes the most sense for them. Now, last thing, ask the loan officer what other programs are out there that they didn't present to you. Don't automatically accept the first program you get presented. I love it when I have clients that say, well, what about FHA? Well, what about the Home Advantage program? Or what about split mortgage insurance? It tells me that they've done their homework, and I love seeing it because it's a huge investment, the biggest investment they were probably ever going to have in their life. And the financing is a big part of that. So ask that question, what else is out there that we haven't talked about? So I think, honestly, the best way to find and out maybe who you should be chatting with for financing or what questions you should be asking is ask your friends and family, who did you get your home loan through or who have you heard good things about? Chances are I've probably done loans for your friends and family, and I'd love to do a loan for you. Feel free to call when you're shopping for your mortgage. I'd be happy to tell you what we can offer you.
Tom, that's great. That's great information. And it is actually a point, I think, that is complicated for a lot of people that have never been through the process before. Because, you know, you look at a house and you're going to spend $150,000, and then you look at the loan, and they've never gone through that experience, especially for a first-time home buyer before. And so you're like, okay, well, here's going to be the cost associated with your loan. It's not just that you're going to get the loan for $150,000. You're going to have the appraisal. You're going to have some reserves you're going to have to set up. And going through that the first time when you've never seen that information before, it's a big deal. And it's more complicated than we can do in a 10-minute segment on the radio, that's for sure.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I meet with each and every client that I do a loan for, and I want to sit down with the client, make sure they understand everything about their loan and make sure there's no surprises for them. So be happy to sit down with you guys.
Tom, that's great, great information. So one of the things that is going to lead me back into my topic is when we talk about decorating for the holidays, and I know you're an equal opportunity lender. Well, you need to be an equal opportunity decorator for the holidays. It might be the time of year where we leave the life-size nativity scene in storage this year. It might not be, because we don't know, right? We don't know what religion someone might be coming to the house. We don't know. So we want to keep things as neutral as positive. You can still, like we said, have some decorations for that coziness. But if you truly are trying to apply to as large a market as possible, there might be a few of those things you can leave in storage this year.
Well, not only that, but if your nativity set has taken up your whole front yard, they can't picture playing croquet out there in the summer with their family, right?
You're exactly right. It can easily make those spaces smaller.
Guilty.
The other thing that we talk about is really accentuating the positive. One of the things you want to do to accentuate the positive, and that is compliment your color palette. So one of the things, right, you might have this really nice blue color, you know, wall in your living room that goes well with your modern silver, you know, appliances and your lamps that you've put in there. Well, I don't think red and green splashed in there all over is going to go with that. So consider keeping a similar color palette in those rooms. There's some things you can do. You can do silver, you can do gold, or a few of those colors that go with it better. Developing a clashing color scheme just to have the Christmas decorations out when you go to sell is not a good move. So you want to make sure you kind of keep that common theme going. And then the last one that we are, I'm just going to wrap it up with this, and that's kind of back to where we started on that is just keep the clutter out of there. This is just going to have to be one of those years where it's a little bit more simple. If you do that, you have a lot better chance of selling your home during the holidays. Because the buyers, they're still going to be looking, and there's still going to be other choices out there. There might not be as many on the market, but there's going to be options for them to look at. So you just want to, it's kind of accentuate the positives, keep it light this time of year, and keep things very, very clean and inviting. And so it is still very, very possible. We're going to write numerous contracts between now and the Christmas holiday, and there's still a lot of business to be done there. We are working. Our team is busy. We're putting together contracts. We're going to be here. We're staffed up through the holidays. We have agents in town. So don't feel like, because of the holidays and this situation, that it's not a time that you can call us. Even if you're thinking about listing in the new year, now's a great time to get that first initial meet and greet done. Have us get a look at your house, get it on the radar, and then help you be ready to go when we move into the new year. If you have any questions about that, go to KenmoreTeam.com, shoot us a message, and we'd be glad to help out. We will be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.